Book of Jonah. And we're up to chapter 3. There's 10 verses. And we want to look at them briefly because time is fleeting by. But nonetheless, I feel and know that there's a great gospel application here that you and I can glean tonight. We're going to read the 10 verses, and I want you to follow carefully to the Bible reading. It says, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it. He did it not." Dear friend, if you want a title tonight for the message, it's simply this: Repent or Perish. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 3, we read these words: "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." We this evening have cut in the midst of a story that has been going on now in the life of this man called Jonah. There are 4 simple things that I want to draw your attention to this evening. I want us to first of all just take a brief look at the mission field that is before us here. We want to take a look secondly at the messenger. We want to look thirdly at the message. And then we want to look in closing at God's mercy toward these people. First of all, we want to look at the mission field. Where are we been drawn to here in this particular time in history? Well, you will discover tonight at the opening verse of chapter 3 that it says that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Why did it have to come a second time? The reason being is because Jonah was disobedient after the first time. God had already spoken to him. God had already informed him exactly where he wanted him to go and what he wanted him to do and the reason for doing so. But we discover in the first chapter of the book of Jonah that instead of Jonah going in the way that the Lord was directing him, Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. The Lord wanted to use this man as a missionary, as an evangelist, as a witness. But he was running away from God's will and God's word. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying it because this purpose. There are young folk in this meeting tonight who are saved. Young men, young women, growing up. And as you have sat under the ministry of God's word down through your life, maybe you too at times has been aware of the directive hand of God within your heart and within your life towards full-time service or of a service of some sort. And up until this night, within your breast, young believer, there is a battle going on. And you may be responding like Jonah. And instead of going in the way that the Lord is leading, you're seeking to run away from that which God has for you. Are you that person? Are you that individual? Are you fighting and kicking against the will of God? Jonah began to rebel against the will and the word of God. Instead of going in the direction where God wanted him to go and to do the purpose that God had for him to do, he went in the opposite direction. He tried to do something that was impossible to do, to flee from the presence of the Lord. Can't do that. But circumstances worked out that he could. The boat was in its right place. The right money was in his pocket. All things were laid on for him to go in the way that he wanted to go. And of course, as he went on that journey, and as he sought to run away from the word and from the will of God, you'll notice this here, he began on a downward track. Because God had to deal with him. And a man who turned his back on God and ran away from the will of God very soon became a sleeper. And when he ought to have been praying, he was sleeping. That is a picture of the backslider. You know, I always love the story of Jonah. It thrills my heart. Because God did not give up on him. God did not throw him in the spiritual scrap heap. The Lord went after him. And the Lord dealt with him. And the Lord brought him back into communion with him. He brought him to a point where Jonah was now ready to be used. That's why we read in chapter 3 and verse 1, And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And before he heard the word for the second time, he had to be broken by God. And some Christians need to be broken by the Lord. Now, what was it that God wanted this man to do? Well, listen. He wanted him to go to the mission field of God's choice. And that mission field of God's choice was this place called Nineveh. And the Bible says within the walls of this place called Nineveh, it was an exceeding great city with great wickedness. And really that was the purpose why Daniel reacted there, or Jonah reacted the way he did. Jonah felt in his heart these people did not deserve God's mercy because of such wickedness that was taking place behind those walls. But yet God still loved them. And even though Jonah didn't love them, and Jonah would not have shown them mercy, listen, God was going to show them mercy. Because God could see everything that was happening behind those walls. And there's a wee lesson here. Young man, young woman, there's nothing you do in life that God doesn't see or hear. For everything is open and naked before Him with whom we have to do. And as God looks down into this building tonight in cold rain, listen, He doesn't just look within the four walls, but He's searching your heart. And we have been singing about it tonight, brother. Search me, O God. And I pray God will search your heart tonight. And that you might be brought to a realization of your need of salvation. For dear friend, let me tell you this. You are no different whatsoever than these people in the streets of Nineveh. You have that same problem within your breast. You are in the same condition as they are. For the Bible plainly states that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that includes you, and that includes me. And it is sin itself which hinders you from ever being in heaven. And until that sin problem is dealt with within your heart and within your life, dear friend, listen, you will never know what it is to walk the streets of gold. And if you die tonight in your sin, you'll be lost in hell. For all eternity. And yet, the same God who loved these people of Nineveh, He loves you too. Because God commanded His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If these people would have been left to go on in the way that they were going, listen, there would have been no hope for them whatsoever. But God in His love and in His mercy came to an individual, he broke him. He prepared him. He molded him. He brought him to a point where he was willing to go in obedience to the will and to the word of the Lord. And he went to the mission field of God's choosing. Not his choosing, but God's choosing. I tell you, that's a good point. You know, you can be in the mission field and it mightn't be God's choosing. You're in quite trouble, or you are. It'll be like purgatory. Huh? Purgatory. Those who sing is purgatory, of course, but you know what I'm getting at. Hallelujah. Get into trouble there, bro. Huh? Purgatory in a Free Presbyterian church. No such thing, but it would be miserable. You'd be the most miserable being upon the face of the earth. That's what you'd be. But Jonah now was in the will of the Lord. Verse 2. Yes, the word had spoken to him the second time. God had challenged him. And this time he responded. And he arose. He says, arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. Why? According to the word of the Lord. I want you to see something else here, because it's mighty important. When Jonah was being sent of God, God says, go and preach the preaching that I bid thee. Not what you want to preach. Not what's in your mind. Not what you like. But I want you to preach the preaching that I bid thee. I want to give you the message, Jonah. And I'm giving you the message that these people need. Because except these people repent, they will all likewise perish. So we have the mission field, and that mission field is Nineveh. We now have the messenger, and that messenger is Jonah. And Jonah now is going in obedience to the word of the Lord. But can I say thirdly, can we look now at the message that God had given him to preach? What was that message? Well, take a look there at verse 4. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And what did he do? He cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It was a message of judgment. A straightforward message to these people. You're sinners in the sight of God. And except you repent, you will all likewise perish. That was the message. God will judge you for your sin. And isn't it remarkable? Here was one man at the call of God. Eventually said, I go. Just one. Didn't take a dozen. Just took the one. I go. And he went in with a message of God on his heart. But do you see the response of the people in verse 5? As he went into that city, and as he entered into the city a day's journey, and he began to preach and cry unto the people, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. We then have the response of the people, because the people, the verse says, so the people of Nineveh what? Believed the preacher. Not a bit of it. They believed God. What are they saying? They believe what the preacher was preaching was the message of God. This is a message from heaven for our souls, for our hearts. And here was a wicked, depraved, evil people standing before this man as he stood in the streets alone, preaching the message that the Lord had laid upon his heart. And the people, as they gathered round to listen, the people of Nineveh believed God. We need to get our eyes off the preacher. Telling you. And we need to get our ears on the message that he preaches. And here was this people on this mission field listening to the messenger of God preach the message of God. And as they listened and they began to believe God, that things began to happen in the streets of this great city. Revival broke out. I tell you, revival broke out beforehand. It broke out on the boat. The mariners got gloriously saved. Glory to God. And now revival here was going to enter the streets of Nineveh, this great, wicked, sinful place. Things were going to become different. My, they were listening to the message. They were listening to the warning of God. And God began to move in their hearts. And from the least of them to the king upon the throne, there was things began to happen. Conviction of sin gripped their hearts and gripped their souls. They realized that day that if they didn't repent, they'd be lost. They'd face the judgment of God and there'd be no hope for their soul. Therefore, the Bible tells us there in verse 6, when the word came unto the king of Nineveh that he arose from his throne, he heard the message too. He heard the messenger. And when he heard the message that the messenger brought, he arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him and he covered him with sackcloth and he said in ashes, you call this humility, humbling oneself in the sight of God. And he caused it to be proclaimed, verse 7, and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them feed, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered and with sackcloth, watch it, and cry mightily unto God. Three repentance coming now. People's willing to repent. People's willing to turn unto God. Turning away from their sin. Being done with it. And young person, ye can't be saved until you're willing to do that. Ye can't think you can be saved and live the life of the devil. The Bible says, except ye repent. There's got to be a willingness to turn away from sin. Listen. You see, the first night I heard the gospel at 16, I came under conviction for the first time. Do you see in the meeting? I made a choice. What my choice was? I had 20 cigarettes in my pocket and I loved a bottle of beer at the weekend. And it was either turn my back on the pleasures of the sin or receive Christ. And sad to say, I rejected Christ that night. And maybe there's things in your life tonight and you have been counting the cost, and I want to tell you something. It's a good thing to count the cost. But I pray that you'll be brought to a point where you'll be willing to repent of your sin and turn unto God in order that you might be saved. Yes, this is what was happening in the streets of Nineveh. Now let us see something else here. Let us look at verse 9, verse 8. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And here was a people, after listening to the messenger preach the message that God had given to him, here was a people who were now willing to repent. And in doing so, true repentance brings forth forgiveness. Because God forgave these people. Because we read in verse 10 of God's mercy. Because the Bible says, and God saw their works. I want to tell you this. God knows whether or not you're truly repented or not. God knows. Young person, maybe you've been brought up in the free church from knee high. You have known nothing else but coming to this house, or maybe some other house. And you look like a Christian. And at times you even sound like a Christian. But maybe you're not a Christian. There's been no true repentance. There's things in your life that nobody knows anything about. You've had it all these years. I want to tell you, God knows your works. He knows you better than you know yourself. And God knew that these people were responding in a positive way, because the Bible says that God saw their works, what? That they turned from their evil way. God knew. God knew that they were truly repentant of their sin. And because they turned from their sin, they were truly repentant of their sin. The Bible says that God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Instead of facing judgment, they receive forgiveness for sin. Young person tonight, listen. Are you saved? I mean, are you truly saved? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I stood just about 2 weeks ago. Now listen. To a man giving his testimony away from a place called Castle Derg. And this man had said to someone in the church that he had been a Christian. So they asked him to come to the open air. And he preached in the open air. And they even gave him a Tuesday night prayer meeting in odd time. And then a mission come to the church. God's challenged him. And God dealt with him. And the man went home and he had no peace. He had to come back. And he came back to the preacher. He says, I've something to tell you. Can't live no more like this. I'm not saved. Thank God he was man enough to admit it. I want to tell you, it takes guts for a man to do that, or a woman. Don't you play the fool and end up in hell. Be willing to repent tonight. Turn from your sin. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Do you know what he promises? To as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. The man or woman who truly means business with God, God will do business with them. No doubts. I want to tell you, the night this person got saved, he became a new creature. It's the best day of my life. People say to me, Albert, what's the best days of your life? The best day of my life was the night I met the Lord, or the Lord met me. But I have to say the next one was the day that I met the wife. But I love the Lord. I want to tell you, young people, I love the Lord. Do you know what I long to see in our church? I speak concerning my own sons as well. That God would raise up a band of young people on fire for God. Totally committed. Separated unto God. For God's service. And maybe God has spoken to someone in this meeting tonight. And I know my old clock's beating me, but you haven't as far to go home as I have. But if God's spoken to you and you want to have a chat with me, don't run away. Come and have a word. Something's troubling you, stay behind. Listen, I ring the wife and say, I'll see you in the morning. And I mean that. I don't care if I have to stay all night. God's speaking to your heart. God's dealing with your soul. You stay and do business with God this evening. I'm finished. And may the Lord bless his word. May God see your works tonight. May God see that you need business. Let us pray. Our loving Father, word, and we thank you for your love and